Father God, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would take my words and speak into our hearts and minds, that we might live more fully for the glory of your name. Amen. Well, good morning. It is very good indeed to be with you here at St. Bartholomew's, and good morning to those that way, watching us at home on the Zoom service at home. I was reflecting earlier in the service. I've been ordained for 24 years, and for the last 10 years, I've been an archdeacon in Portsmouth Diocese, so had a bit of an itinerant ministry in a different church most Sundays. And I think this is the first St. Bartholomew's I've ever worshipped in or been involved in a service in. So it is very good indeed to be with you, even if when I was typing my sermon, I had to check in the dictionary how to spell Bartholomew. Getting the vowels wrong. I was curate in a St. Barnabas, and it was amazing that there we even had church wardens who would spell Barnabas wrongly, as most people tended to do. But it is very good to be with you this morning. A question as I start. I wonder, what do you pray for? What do you pray for? In your daily prayer times, at times of crisis, during the intercessions at church, what do you pray for? I think the things and the people that we pray for reveal what it is that we really value, really care about, really want to see happen. And so our prayers perhaps naturally tend to major on our family, our loved ones, people we know who have particular urgent needs, maybe some world situations where they're sufficiently stark to make us sit up and take notice, or in a week like Christian Aid Week where it's a focus of particular prayer. And if we're disciplined, we might make sure to remember to pray for our leaders, for the Queen and her government, and also to pray prayers of adoration and thanksgiving, as well as our prayers of intercession where we ask God for the things that we want. But I think and I suspect that ultimately our prayer list is a bit like our bank statement. If you were to take a close look at what you really spend your prayer time on, just as if you were to take a close look, or someone else were to take a close look at what you spend your money on, you get a pretty accurate revelation of what really matters to us and of where our priorities lie. In today's gospel reading, we just heard from John 17, this is Jesus' last night with his disciples before his arrest. He knew what was about to happen. Arrest in the garden, followed by mocking scorn, the rigged trial, torture, and eventually crucifixion. And at this time of acute crisis, John gives us the incredible privilege of listening in on Jesus' prayer here. The things that he prayed for, not just in general, but at that crunch time, immediately before his arrest. And if the principle holds true that what you pray for shows what you really value, what you really treasure, what's really important to you, then let's notice what it is that Jesus prays for here. He prays for you. He prays for you. The heart of Jesus' prayer that last evening before his arrest was to look up to God, to his Father in heaven, and to pray for us. Verse 9 again, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. So if prayer shows what it is that we value, then what does Jesus' prayer there on the night of his arrest show is the most treasured thing to him? Well, us, you and me, his disciples, those there with him in the upper room, and all those who would follow in their steps down through the centuries of the church. We are Jesus' treasure, his joy, his delight. We are the thing that really matters to him. And on one level, I think that's a stupendous enough thought for me to be tempted to finish my sermon there and just leave us to reflect on all that's entailed in that one incredible truth, that we are the thing that Jesus treasures the most. Indeed, it's sometimes been said that if you were the only person in the world, God loves you enough that he would still have sent his son just to die for you, and that Jesus loves you enough that he would have willingly gone to the cross just for you. We are the thing that Jesus treasures the most. But I want us to go a step further and to look briefly at what Jesus prays for us in his prayer at this crunch time here. And in particular, very quickly, to highlight four things that Jesus prays for us. Firstly, Jesus prays for our protection. In fact, this comes up twice, verse 11 and verse 15. Verse 11, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. And then verse 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. You see, life is tough, and the pressures and difficulties we face are real, particularly as we seek to live faithfully the Christian life that Jesus calls us to. And so Jesus prays for our strength and our protection in all the difficulties and pressures of life. And then secondly, he prays for our unity, the last part of verse 11. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. So that they may be one as we are one. We see, don't we, how time and time again, the devil loves to get in and disrupt and divide, to cause broken relationships within the church family and between different branches of the church, different parts of the body of Christ. That's true within a Christian family. It's true within a local church family. It's true within our national Church of England family. And it can be true between denominations as we fall out and have structural disunity and division. But Jesus prays for our unity, that we might be one, just as Jesus and God the Father are one. I think he prays for that because that's what matters to him. We are his one body, and it grieves him when we're divided. And he prays that because it's vital for our witness. For the person out there in the street that doesn't know Jesus, he doesn't understand why we might separate for reasons of doctrinal purity. They just look at a divided church and think, well, how can we have a credible witness? Jesus prays for our unity. It matters to God and it matters to the world. Then thirdly here, Jesus prays for our sanctification, that we might be made holy. Verse 17, sanctify them, that's his disciples, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. We are made holy. We're equipped to live with and for our holy God by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, the gift we'll be celebrating next week at Pentecost. And we can play our part in the answering of this prayer by dwelling in God's word, the Bible. Jesus says here, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So Jesus prays for our protection. He prays for our unity. He prays for our sanctification. And then finally, he prays for our joy. Verse 13. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. That they may have the full measure of my joy within them. And I think this is a wonderful echo of Jesus' earlier words in John 10:10. I have come in order that you might have life and have it in abundance, have it to the full. So Jesus doesn't just want us to cope or to endure when we face problems and difficulties in life. He wants us to flourish, to thrive, to live lives that are joy-filled. And what's more, this wasn't just Jesus' prayer on that last night before his arrest. Last Thursday, we celebrated Ascension Day, the day we remember that Jesus has risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, where he now sits at the right-hand side of his Father in glory. And what is Jesus doing in heaven now? Well, listen to these words from Romans 8:34. Christ Jesus, who died, who more than that was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. That's what Jesus is doing now. That's Jesus' ongoing ministry today. He's at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. The justice he revealed, what really mattered to him on that night before his arrest, in praying for his disciples, praying for their protection, their unity, their sanctification, and their joy. Then so too today, Jesus continues interceding for us. For us, the disciples he values and treasures and delights in. Praying today and every day for our protection, our unity, our sanctification, and our joy. So therefore, be confident. Know this morning and every morning that you are the treasured, precious, delighted child of God. Whatever difficulties and struggles and setbacks and disappointments you may face in life, and at times some of those difficulties will be very real and very painful indeed, know the reality of Jesus' ongoing prayer for you. And therefore, with verse 18 here, as Jesus sends us out into the world to live and work and witness for him, we can be confident, united, joyful and holy, because our confidence is in our God, whose name we bear. The God who through his Spirit will be with us always. Amen. Let's be quiet for a moment and then I'll pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that indeed we are your treasured possession and delight. Well, that we are where we are this morning because of your ongoing love and watching care for us. And that's true for those on our hearts, those who we pray for. And so, Lord, today may we have a renewed confidence and may we join you in looking for those gifts, Lord, of unity, of sanctification, of protection, and of joy, that life abundance that you came to give and that you continue pouring out us through your Holy Spirit. So this week, as we prepare for Pentecost next Sunday, may we know your risen life with us. In your precious name. Amen.